Welcome back to the Two Guys Named Chris show. This segment is called Lawyer Up. Our official attorney, Lisa Lanier, is on the line. She's president of the Lanier Law Group, lanierlawgroup.com. Yesterday, we had her on. Fascinating legal case about a woman who used Johnson & Johnson talcum powder as a feminine hygiene device for 50 years, died of cancer, and her family has just won $72 million in a lawsuit. At least I can't tell you how many calls we got about that from people who, some had heard, yes, this talcum powder is bad news, and others, like myself, never knew. So I appreciate you being on and talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, that was news to me when the story broke about the verdict. I had not heard that, and apparently it is. There are a lot of people affected by it. 1,200 lawsuits are pending from people who've developed ovarian cancer.
Let me ask you this very quickly. I know we have other illegal cases, but I got multiple emails like Chris Kelly did too, Lisa, of people who said that their moms, you know, their moms developed cancer. Their moms used Johnson & Johnson talcum powder for years and years. Can they also become part of a lawsuit, or do they have to do an individual thing?
Yeah, so there are class action lawsuits that are being formed now, and so you could choose to either go after Johnson & Johnson individually, like the people who got the big verdict, or you can join one of these class actions.
Yeah, okay. I think it'd be really hard to prove. One lady called us and said her mom died in the early 80s, and it was cancer, and she used Johnson & Johnson every day, but it'd be very hard to prove now, I would think, individually, that Johnson & Johnson led to her cancer. You have no idea. But if you're a part of a class action,
time barred now, it would be too late. For people whose family members passed a long time ago, it would be too late. But for people who are currently suffering from ovarian cancer, it would be worth exploring.
Exactly. Okay. Three stories today. These are all legal cases that Lisa Lanier will get into the middle of. One man is saying that he is upset, filed a civil rights complaint against the Education Department of New York City because he's a teacher and they've scheduled parent-teacher conferences on St. Patrick's Day. He says it has denied him his right as an Irish American to march in the Fifth Avenue parade honoring St. Patrick. His lawyers say that the scheduling make it so that there's no way he can do it. He can't miss work, and yet he wants to be in this parade. Can he win this? Is there some sort of civil right problem here forcing him not to be in the parade?
There's got to be a constitutional right to drink green beer and go to a parade. Right? I mean, that's a given. Yeah, no, actually, it is considered a religious and ethnic holiday, so I think they are going to have to accommodate him. And he's asking, because they wouldn't accommodate him, he's actually now asking for a much broader, he just wanted the day off.
Yeah.
And now he's asking for a permanent injunction within the city so that they could never schedule parent-teacher conferences on St. Patrick's Day going forward.
Are you serious?
That's wild.
That is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, technically, it was a religious holiday. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why there is the same. It's become something else, clearly.
And it's such a big deal in New York. I mean, obviously, it's huge there.
Massive.
So it's parent-teacher conference day, but are schools closed on St. Patrick's Day in New York?
No, they're not. And he's not asking for schools to be closed. He's just asking for, because he's the teacher, and it's the one, they only have 2 days a year of parent-teacher conferences. Mm-hmm. It's a critical day that he cannot miss.
Right.
And he wants to be able to have regular school that day so that he can have a sub and go, miss to have a day off and go.
I say.
Go to the parade. And it is, we don't think of it probably here in the South as quite the big deal, but like you said, in New York, where there are large numbers of Irish Catholics, it is actually a religious and ethnic holiday.
He says it's particularly egregious because the mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio, has added three holidays to the school calendar for other religious groups, ethnic groups, so he wants his day as well.
I see.
As an Irishman. And I guess he's going to get it.
It kind of rubs salt in the wound that they just announced a day off for a Muslim holiday. And he's like, come on, you won't give me the day off. We have these schools are closed for this new Muslim holiday.
I'm really surprised that he's going to win this, but Lisa says he will. Here's somebody else I never thought I'd be on the side of. Jared Fogle. I saw, attached to this article, there's a picture of him wearing a big old Indianapolis Colts hat. I thought, the Colts have got to hate that. They've got to hate that.
Can't shop that out.
Really? Can't you put a Jaguars logo on that or something? Anyway.
They need a permanent injunction against him.
Totally. Jared Fogle is challenging the judge who sentenced him to 15 years in prison, arguing that he's being punished in part for his fantasies, and fantasies are not a crime. The lawyers are appealing the sentence, claiming the judge had no right to exceed the maximum sentence of 13 years But because he was on the phone, they had tapes of him on the phone with somebody saying, I've thought about this and I've thought about that. And Fogle and his lawyers say, hey, what I've thought about is my business. That's not a crime. I think he's probably right here. I think it's going to go back down to 13 years. So I don't. Please don't say I'm on the side of Jared Fogle. Don't boo me on this. But well, Lisa, you know, is he right?
I'll tell you, you're on the side of the molester there.
No. I am absolutely not. Is he right?
No, but I think it's just that the judge mentioned, you know, you're obsessed with child pornography and you fantasize about it 24 hours a day. She mentioned that in sentencing. And that's what triggered this. But she actually did not exceed the possible. There was actually, she could have given him up to 50 years. I think what upset him and his lawyers so much is they had worked out a plea agreement for 12 and a half years, and she went up to a little over 15. And what happened in these conversations was not just that he described a fantasy, but he was soliciting getting more pornography of six-year-olds. So he was describing his fantasy, but he was soliciting his friend to get him six-year-old pornography. So I think she was just looking at that as an aggravating. Judges are allowed to consider what's called aggravating or mitigating circumstances to either increase or lower a sentence, and she saw this as an aggravating circumstance.
Okay, so you think this will stand, he'll be there for at least 15 years?
I think so. I mean, her word choice is poor because it's true you can't punish someone for a fantasy, but if it's merely a fantasy, but he acted on it.
Yes, he did.
And the only issue is, you know, they didn't actually formally charge him with that solicitation. That's the only caveat where she may have, the judge may run into a problem, but I don't think it's going to go back.
And I want to make it clear, no one is on the side of Jared Fogle.
No.
All right? I'm not sitting here cheering for Fogle to get out early.
See a lot of pitchforks and torches this time of day outside of a radio station.
No Fogle. I don't care for him at all. And as Biggie put it so poignantly the other day, you can do anything you want at Subway now. It's still not as bad. Biggie said you could pee in the pickles as an employee. It's still not as bad as Fogle.
Hey, Reggie, we need to talk. I'm not Fogle. All right. You're right. You're fine.
And finally, have you heard of this before? A woman in New York has something called body brewery after facing drunken driving charges. Her charge was dismissed based on the defense that she has a rare condition. Her body converts carbohydrates into alcohol. So when she eats a lot of bread or pasta, she basically is drunk. It's documented and has been used in DUI cases before. I'd never heard of this. Have you heard of it before, Lisa?
I had read about it once before, and I didn't really look into it that much. But for this, looking into it, it is a legitimate condition in the intestines where there's an excess of yeast, and it causes carbohydrates to ferment. And you can test these people. They'll put them in a clinic where they've had no alcohol, and they'll test their blood alcohol, and it will be over the limit every time.
And
she was tested 18 times, no alcohol consumed, and she was at well over the legal limit every time.
Isn't that crazy? Mm. So she eats a big bowl of pasta, and she's drunk, and so she can't drive. So she was driving erratically and pulled for drunk driving, and she had not had anything to drink. Isn't that crazy? I mean, I've never heard of anything like that.
Well, but here's the rub. She actually did. She had three drinks. Here's the rub about it. She did have three drinks over the course of the whole day. She was visiting friends, and what she and her lawyer were saying is, I drank these three drinks over 8 hours. There's no way. Her blood alcohol was 0.33.
Ooh.
And, oh, yeah, she was. And so, but what happened is she actually ingested some alcohol. It added to what was already going on in her fermented gut, and it made her, she was weaving all over the place. She was actually driving with a flat tire and just rubber burning like crazy. So she was definitely drunk, but it was mainly because of this fermentation in her gut.
The fermented gut.
Put that's another track on my album.
Yes, sir.
The Fermented Gut. Lisa Lanier, great answers to three legal cases in Lawyer Up. Find her at LanierLawGroup.com. She's president there. She's our official attorney of the Two Guys Named Chris Show. Thank you very much, Lisa.